5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. That doesn't just mean he was alive. It means he's the source of life. We derive our life from him. He's where life came from. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John 1:1-5. What I want you to see there is that Jesus was involved in creation. Without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made through him. I want you to see the same in Colossians 1:15-17. He was there at creation. He was active. He was co-creator with the Father and the Spirit. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Colossians 1:15-17. Title of today's Christmas sermon that's building up to the real Christmas sermon next week, is Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ before he came on Christmas Day. Let's bow and pray together. Father, thank you for giving us these copies that we have of your holy word. Thank you that they are faithful and very accurate, and we can know that these things have surely happened, and this is truly your word. We pray that today your word may be powerful to save and to sanctify, and that we who are in Christ would rejoice in what we find today in the scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So in reading those two passages, again, what I really wanted to emphasize to you is that Jesus Christ, we know this, Jesus Christ was present and active at creation. Then we also know that he was present and active in his incarnation and in the years that followed and for eternity future. He's present. What we want to know today is, where was he in between? In between creation and Christmas, where was Jesus Christ? Did he do anything? Did he appear to anybody? Or was he kind of on vacation? Was he taking a sabbatical? Was he just resting a while, waiting for the fullness of time to come? Now we know that in between creation and Christmas, there were prophecies about him. There were many prophecies, hundreds of prophecies pointing to his future coming. The most famous of them might be Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. So Isaiah, prophesying that, and the whole chapter is a prophecy, looked to the future, saw the day of Christmas, saw the day of Christ's incarnation. So there were prophecies between creation and Christmas. We also know that there were types, many, many types, different kinds and sorts of types that prefigured or foreshadowed his coming and his earthly ministry. A good example would be the enigmatic figure named Melchizedek in Genesis 14, or the temple and its sacrifices, or the Passover lamb, or the scapegoat. All of these and many other things were types that foreshadowed and prefigured the coming of the Lord Jesus at Christmas and beyond. But again, our question is not about, were there any prophecies in there? Were there any types in there from Christmas, from creation to Christmas? But do we see Jesus Christ present and active? Does he appear? Does he speak to anybody? Is he involved in the history of redemption as it unfolds between creation and Christmas? Was he doing anything, or was he on a sabbatical? Now, the reason we're doing this is because I want you to see more of Christ than you might be seeing in the Old Testament. I think you'll be blessed by it. I want you to see appearances of Christ. I want you to see times when Christ is speaking to his people in the Old Testament. So here's a good thing to think about up front before we get to digging into the scriptures. There are these things in the Bible that theologians have called, this is not a biblical term, but we use these terms, and they're good terms. There are things that we would call theophanies and Christophanies. Now, what are those? A theophany is an appearance of God. Theo, God, appearance, like we have ophthalmology, ancient relatives, the same kind of word. It has to do with vision. So there are theophanies in the Old Testament. There are places where God God appears. And generally, we would believe, you probably believe, those are God the Father appearing in those. Sometimes they're in bodily form. Sometimes they're in a cloud or a fire or something. But there are theophanies in the Old Testament. There are also Christophanies. There are places in the Old Testament where scholars agree, and we know that that was Christ appearing there, and that was Christ appearing there. For example, wherever the God appearing is called the angel, definite article, the angel of the Lord. That's the pre-incarnate second person of the Holy Trinity. That's Jesus Christ. So we know that wherever you have the angel of the Lord, that's a Christophany. Here's the question that I'm going to address today, and we'll see if I can convince you, and if I don't, that's okay. We can still be good friends. So some people say we can't really tell which is which sometimes, theophany or Christophany. Others will say, well, there are theophanies, that's God probably the Father, and there are Christophanies, that's God definitely the Son. But others say, and scholars are divided on this, others say, no, I think every theophany is actually a Christophany. I think every time you see an appearance of God, it's actually which member of the Trinity is appearing? It's God the Son. And I've come to hold that view, and you're welcome to hold a different view. Again, we can still get along just fine, but I want to show you why that view has really weighed on me and convinced me. And if I'm right, if the scholars who say this are right and we're all right, then you'll see a whole lot more of Jesus Christ in your Old Testament than maybe you've seen before. So are you ready to get into the scriptures? Good, you're all ready? Well, hold on, we're not going to do it quite yet. I have three things I want to say up front before we go in. First, a verse to keep in mind. Here's a verse to keep in mind when we go to look at these theophanies. John 6:46. Jesus says, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. So we're going to see people seeing God. What do we know from this verse? They weren't seeing the Father. All right, I think there's a good point there. Just keep that in mind. Here's a fact to keep in mind before we get into our passages. A fact to keep in mind. After Jesus' ascension, whenever God appears to men, it's always, always, always God the Son. It's God the Son. It's God the Son appearing bodily, physically to men after his ascension. Here's a proposal to ponder. It seems like, all right, that's weasel words. It seems like God the Son is the one who does the appearing when the appearing is in bodily form. In other words, all theophanies that are bodily are actually Christophanies. It seems like that. I want you to see Jesus present, involved, active from creation to Christmas, and then he shows up incarnate on Christmas Day. Let's start in creation. Let's go back to creation again, but we're in Genesis chapter 3. We're in the garden, and it's right after the fall. Human race has fallen. In verse 8, here's what we read. And they heard the sound. Once you notice that, they heard the sound. There was something to hear. They heard the sound of the Lord, that's the Hebrew word Yahweh, God, that's the Hebrew word Elohim. They heard the sound of Yahweh Elohim. What was the sound? The sound of him walking in the garden. They heard the sound of walking. You could identify a sound of walking, right? If you're standing still in a street and you hear it behind you, you say, oh, there's somebody walking. They're walking toward me. You can hear that sound. So they heard a sound. It was the sound of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence. This walking was the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. So there was a sound of walking. Says that twice. There was a sound of God walking. Now I have a question for you. Here it is. What made that sound?
God.
It was God. That's good. Let's get warmer. We heard the sound of God walking. What do you think? Take your pick. Here's two options. Do you think God piped in walking sound because there was really nobody there? It was just a Shekinah glory or a cloud or something. How many think God piped in sound? Like there are cars you can buy that you can like turn on that they'll actually pipe in engine sound through the speakers into your interior car. So if you really want to hear your car getting it, you can crank up the sound. Boom, goes your car. Did God do that in the garden? I'm going to crank up walking sound even though there's nothing there walking. How many vote for that? No, I don't think so. So there was a physical bodily, it had to be physical. It made noise when it walked. There was a bodily presence. It was walking. So it had feet, so it had legs, so it had a torso, so it had arms, so it had a head. You had a human figure in the garden, walking in the cool of the garden, making sound as it walked. I think that's inescapable. So this was a theophany. This was God appearing as a human in human form. I bet you've always pictured it as a cloud in the garden. I bet you've always pictured it as a Shekinah glory or something in the garden. But no, there was something to be seen, and the thing to be seen was a body. Now here's another question for you. So which person of the Trinity was it? Holy Spirit, it's not going to be. The Holy Spirit never appears except as a dove in Acts chapter 2 and like that. Is it God the Father or God the Son? Well, I'm going to try and convince you that all appearances like this in the Old Testament are actually God the Son. But there's nothing in our text to say either way, all right? But remember our verse, John 8, no one has seen the Father. All right, Adam and Eve saw God. They heard him walking and they saw him. There was a body to be seen. There was a voice to be heard. There were feet to be heard. But no one has ever seen the Father. Okay, let's go to Genesis 12, Abraham. Then the Lord appeared. Notice that word, gives you goosebumps. Imagine you were Abraham and God Almighty appears to you. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. He appeared. So now there's an appearance, there's something to see, and there's a voice, there's something to hear. What did he see? Genesis 15, 5. And he, that's God, called he, brought him, Abraham, outside. How did he bring Abraham outside? We don't know. I'm guessing. I'm exegeting the white spaces. That's always dangerous. You might be making things up. But he brought him outside. It doesn't say he told him, come outside with me. He brought him. Brought him sounds like took him by the arm. Put his hand around his shoulder. Come on, boy, we're going outside. And then once they're outside, God said to Abraham, look. Look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. This is pure guess. I don't think God said, look. I think he said, look. I think the body that was there walking and making a sound and now speaking was looking up and pointing up as he said this. Was this a theophany or a Christophany? There's not enough in our verse to tell us yet. But remember, no man has seen the Father. Let's go to Genesis 16. This is going to build. By the end, I got some verses that I think are really going to, well, they seal the deal for me. We'll see what they do for you. All right, Genesis 16, Hagar. Hagar, gentlemen, don't have two wives. Here's what happens. All right, Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden. She's been banished by Sarah for having a baby. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord. Now, I'm going to pause there. All faithful biblical scholars, all evangelical biblical scholars, people who have a high view of the Word of God, all agree. It's easy to confirm it. I'm not going to do it now. Easy to confirm. Anytime you have the definite article, angel of the Lord, it's the second person of the Holy Trinity. You can prove that from Scripture. Everybody's agreed on that one. So we know this appearing to Hagar is going to be the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. It's God, the second person. And the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, in the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, once you notice, she just said like nothing. She just answered his question. What happens normally when angels appear to somebody? They fall on their face terrified. They're trembling, they can't move, they're speechless. All right, none of that. So what she saw looked to her like a human. And she said, I'm fleeing my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, the angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. This angel is God. He's capable of multiplying her offspring. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael. This almost sounds like the Christmas accounts, doesn't it? You're pregnant and shall bear a son. You'll call his name Jesus. Verse 13. Here's, it gets intense. This is crazy. So, verse 13, she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. Here's the name. It's a compound name. You are a God of seeing. That's what she called him. She gave him a name. You are a God of seeing. It's going to explain that because I saw him and he saw me. There was seeing involved. There was something to be seen here. She called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are a God of seeing. For, she said, truly, here I have seen him who looks after me. So he saw me and he looks after me, and I saw him. He's the God of seeing. Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy, the well of the living one who sees me. It lies between Kadesh and Bered, Genesis 16, 7 to 14. He is the God of seeing. And this one we're told is the angel of the Lord. So the God of seeing, she saw him, he saw her, is the second person of the Holy Trinity. For sure, this is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. All right? So Jesus appeared. This time we know it. It's Jesus Christ who appeared to Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden. If this appearance of God to a human, Hagar, is actually the angel of the Lord, the second person of the Holy Trinity, then is the Trinity playing musical appearances, musical chairs? Could do. Could be Father sometimes, Son other times. But I'm going to try and convince you it's always the Son. It's always the Son. Let's see if I can convince you. If I don't, I still love you. It'll be all right. Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, I got to pause there. My dad's going to turn 97 soon. He's almost as old as Abraham was in this text. But I don't think he's going to have another son, all right? When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared, so there's something to see, to Abraham, and said, so there's something to hear. Here's what he said, I am God Almighty. Imagine God appears to you and says, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, Genesis 17, 1. He appeared to Abraham, but no one has seen the Father. So who was it? I'm going to say it's God the Son. Verse 22, and when he had finished talking with him, Abraham, God went up from Abraham. There was something to see, there was something to hear, and the thing to see, when they're all done talking, the thing to see went up. Who else in the Bible goes up? Well, Elijah goes up, but that's different. Who else in the Bible goes up? Jesus in his ascension. This is like a type of the coming ascension of the Lord Jesus. He went up. He appeared down here, and then he went up. But there was something to see, and there was something to hear. I believe this is Jesus, present and active with Abraham. I'll show you some verses why later. I believe all these appearances to all the patriarchs were the second person of the Trinity. I'll try and show you why. Let's go to Genesis 18, verse 1. And the Lord, Elohim, appeared to him, Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre. He appeared. There's something to see. How did he appear? And as he sat at the door of his tent, Abraham did, in the heat of the day. So he, Abraham, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men. The Lord appeared to him as one of those men. The Lord appeared to him as a man. Not as a Shekinah glory, not as a cloud. He appeared not as an angel. He appeared human. He appeared to him in humanity. Appeared to him as a man, a real man, because you're going to see these men, well, they can eat and they can be tired and they can walk and they have feet. And so it's real humanity, but created for that moment. And it was God. Anyway, let's go on. That's going to get confusing, isn't it? He, Abraham, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. They're standing, so they have feet. These are real men. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, Oh Lord, he's speaking to the one now that's Elohim. They're not all Elohim. One of them is Elohim. The other two are angels, appearing as men, all three. Oh Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought. They're thirsty. And wash your feet. They need to wash their feet. And rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread. They looked hungry. They can eat. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. So there's three men. One of them has been identified as Elohim. He's God. The other two we're going to see are angels. They were angels. Everybody's agreed on that. They were angels. But one was God. God the Father or God the Son, verse 22. So the men, the two who weren't Elohim, turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood still before the Lord, Elohim. So one of them is Elohim bodily. One of them is Elohim appearing in a man's body. And as he stood still before the Lord, Abraham and God have this deliberation. God's going to go destroy Sodom. And this is where Abraham does the thing with, oh, Lord, what if there are 50 righteous? How about 45 righteous? How about 40 righteous? How about 30? I feel like I'm an auctioneer. Do I hear 30? Do I hear 20? Do I hear 10? He went through all that. And God said, yeah, if there's just 10 righteous people there, I won't destroy it. But there weren't. He destroyed it. Verse 33. And the Lord, Yahweh, went his way, sauntering down the Sodom, when he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. You can see the Lord. Here he walked away. That was the Lord. That was Elohim. That was God in human flesh. Now, if I knew nothing else, but I just had to bet, I know about the incarnation, I know about Christ in the New Testament, and if we have God in the flesh here, which one am I going to guess? I'm going to guess it's God the Son. But we'll see. Let's keep going. Here's a verse to plug in right here and ponder. John 8:56. Your father, Abraham, says Jesus, rejoiced to see my day, the day of Jesus, and he saw it and was glad. When? How did he do that? Perhaps, weasel words, at these appearances. Let's go to Genesis 22. Abraham's one of these great Old Testament true stories. Abraham is called by God to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. They're up on Mount Moriah. All this is typical of the coming of Christ and his crucifixion. And now we read verse 11. But the, definite article was there in Hebrew, angel of the Lord. Who is that always? I didn't prove it to you. I'm asserting it, but there's proof. That's always the second person of the Trinity. It's always God the Son. Jesus is there. It's Jesus dealing with Abraham on Mount Moriah. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. So now there's something to hear, but nothing to see. Called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord. So on this occasion, at least, when God appears to Abraham, it is the angel of the Lord. It's the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. It's God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. I guess it's possible that sometimes it's the Father coming down and sometimes it's the Son. But I think some passages we're going to see later indicate, no, it's the same one every time. It's the same one every time. We're going to see that a little bit later. So it's always Jesus Christ. Let's go to Genesis. Well, we could go to Genesis 26. We'd see Isaac. It begins and there's a series of divine appearances with Isaac. Each of those, I think, are the second person of the Trinity. We're going to Genesis 28 and to Jacob. All right. Genesis 28, 12. And he, Jacob, dreamed. Sometimes God appears in visions. Sometimes he appears in dreams. Sometimes he appears while people are wide awake and he's just there bodily in front of them. And he, Jacob, dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth. Hebrew scholars have studied that word ladder and they tell us it's more like a stairway. I have to wonder, is this where Led Zeppelin, is this where Robert Plant got his Stairway to Heaven? Did he get that from Genesis chapter 28? I don't know. I didn't research it. Somebody research that for me. Send me your results this week, all right? I'd like to know. There was a stairway to heaven, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Imagine, you saw that. All of a sudden, there's a stairway, and there's angels going up and down and up and down. It's like, I've discovered a portal. There's opened up a portal to heaven right in front of me. There's a nexus here where earth and heaven connect. You might think of science fiction, there's a wormhole going on here, all right? And angels are coming up and down. And behold, I want you to notice verse 13, look carefully. And behold, that's something to see. Behold, the Lord, what? Stood above it. The Lord stood above. If he stood, then he had what? Feet, legs, and a torso, and then he wasn't headless. He had a head, and he had arms, and he had eyes, and he had a mouth. This was not the Shekinah glory up there. It was, behold, the Lord stood. And notice what he said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham. The one that appeared to Abraham, I'm him. And we know that at least some of the time, so I think probably all of the, that was the angel of the Lord. That was God, the second person. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham. The one that had dealings with him, I'm him. And the God of Isaac, the one that had dealings with him, I'm him. So what he's saying is, they were all those appearances to those guys, they were all me. Same God, same appearance. It seems to me it's God the second person because we know some of them were God the second person. Verse 16, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it. It's like he walked into the place, there was no stairway to heaven to see, so he didn't know it. And all of a sudden it appeared, all of a sudden it opened up. I didn't know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate, the nexus of heaven. And he named that place Bethel, house of God, Genesis 28. And from that point, Jacob has a whole series of visual encounters with Yahweh. The Son of God, I think, was present and active in Old Covenant redemptive history. He was appearing to his people, speaking to his people, working with his people, guiding his people as Jesus Christ, very present, very active. And we're still in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. We're going to go to Malachi today. Not really. All right. Let's go to Genesis 32. Jacob is about to meet up with his estranged warrior brother. What's his warrior brother's name? Jacob and
Esau.
He's going to go meet Esau. After he made Esau very unhappy with him, he's afraid, my brother Esau, he's a warrior man, he's got armies, he's got men, he's got weapons, he's going to bump me off. He was worried about that. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, so he's there thinking. And a man, this appeared to be in a human body, not a Shekinah appeared, not a cloud appeared to him, not an angel appeared to him, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. I believe that man is Jesus Christ, present and active, working in Jacob's life. Verse 25, when the man who appeared to him, saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he could have prevailed. Notice what he's about to do. But he let Jacob wrestle him and beat him, hold him off all night long. When he saw that, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he, Jacob, said, let me go, for the day is broken. Sorry, no, the Lord said that. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God. Let's pause there. What had he just done all night? He had striven with God. The man who appeared to him was God in a human body. It was God. This was a theophany. I think it was a Christophany. You have striven with God and with men your whole life, and you have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. Whoa, the name of God. He said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, face of God, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. Genesis 32. And let me remind you, John chapter 8, no one has seen the Father. So who did he see here? Son. Same way Abraham did, the same way Isaac did, the angel of the Lord. Genesis 48. Are y'all hanging on with me? Back there in the back row, you hanging in with me, all right? Okay, good. Genesis 48. Jacob is on his deathbed. He's giving words of blessing to Joseph's children. Verse 3. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. Verse 15, and he, Jacob, blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. There's a parallelism here. The God, the Elohim before whom, the God, the Elohim who has been, the angel, the Malach, Hebrew word for angel, who has redeemed. They're all parallel. They're the same. It's God, God, angel. When he appeared as an angel, it's God who appeared as an angel. They're all parallel. And it's the same God that worked with my fathers, Abraham, the same God who worked with my father and appeared to Isaac. So you have the same God appearing. All right, now it's going to get really good. Exodus 3. Exodus 3, I think, cinches it all for me that they're all Christ appearing. Exodus 3, Moses, verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus, everyone agrees, that's the second person of the Holy Trinity. Who's appearing to Moses? Pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. God the Son is appearing to Moses. The Messiah to come is appearing to Moses. He appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, very often when this is portrayed by artists, or if you go to Sight and Sound and you see, you know, you see a play, they portray it as like a Shekinah, a glory, a glow, or a fire or something. There was a fire in a bush. But what you don't realize is, no, there was an angel in the bush too. The angel of the Lord, appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. If there's any question about that, go to Acts chapter 7. Two times, Stephen, in his sermon there, makes it very, very clear that angel was seen by Moses. And it was the angel of the Lord. That's Jesus Christ. Moses saw Jesus Christ in the burning bush. He saw the second person of the Holy Trinity, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, well, I will turn aside and see what this great sight is, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He says, I am the one, you know, there's a God who appeared to Abraham, that was me. There's a God who appeared to Isaac, that was me. There's a God who appeared to Jacob, that was me. And this me here is the angel of the Lord, which all theologians agree is the second person of the Trinity. It's Jesus Christ. So here, God is telling Moses that it was the angel of the Lord that appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It was Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. I think that's pretty definitive. If it doesn't convince you, all right, we're fine. And then one last thing, one last verse, and then some conclusions. One last verse. Here it is, Exodus 33:11. It gets even better with Moses. Thus the Lord, the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, used to speak to Moses face to face. No one has ever seen God. As a man speaks to his friend. Imagine that. Moses. What an exalted person. What an exalted position. What a crazy life he had. He and God, God's in bodily form. It's pre-incarnate Lord Jesus in a human body. They're sitting down having conversations about the things of the kingdom. As a man speaks to his friend. So, what question am I trying to answer? We know Jesus was involved at creation. We know Jesus is involved at Christmas and beyond. Where was he in between? Was he on a sabbatical? Was there a hiatus and no Jesus there? No. I think Jesus was very involved in redemptive history, and there's a whole lot we didn't look at yet. There's way more in Exodus. There's more in Joshua. There's more in Judges, the angel of the Lord with Gideon. There's more in 1 Samuel, the highlight with young Samuel and the Lord speaking to him. 1 Chronicles 21 is crucial. David numbered the people. The angel of the Lord is unhappy. He comes and wields the sword of the Lord. There's pestilence on the people. And David sees the angel of the Lord and talks with him. And the Lord God, that's God in heaven, commands the angel, that's God on the earth, to stop. There's one God, but there's a God in heaven talking to a God in bodily form on the earth. This is a little taste of two members of the Trinity here in the Old Testament. There's lots more we could look at. There's the prophets, Jeremiah, Daniel, Isaiah, Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord. John chapter 12 says, Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him, and he applies it to Jesus Christ. So there's lots and lots more we could look at, but we're out of time for that. I'm going to close and give you five observations. You ready for five observations? Take a deep breath. Let's observe some things together. One, here's what I've been saying. Here it is. Let's summarize it. So from creation to Christmas, God the Son was very active in redemptive history, not only in types and prophecies, but often appearing bodily to patriarchs, their wives, and the prophets. He didn't appear indiscriminately to just any old saint of the old covenant. No, just to people who were like key players in the history of redemption and the unfolding of God's plan. So to patriarchs, their wives, and to prophets, not just to the rank and file of God's people in the old covenant. So Jesus Christ was involved in creation. Then there was not a long sabbatical. He was still very active. He's appearing. He's speaking. He's the Word. When he's speaking to people, it's the Word that's coming to them. He is God the Word. Here's the second point. There is, however, a dramatic difference between Old Testament Christophany and Christ's actual incarnation. There's a big difference. Let me try and summarize the difference in this way. Those were temporary. This is permanent. You realize now that Jesus Christ has taken on human flesh, been born of a virgin, lived, died, buried, raised, appeared, ascended to the right hand of the Father. He is still Jesus Christ, the God-man, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He's taken on real humanity, fully God, fully man, perfectly mixed together in one. So those were temporary and preparatory. This was permanent and redemptive. He didn't die on the cross in any of those appearances. They were all preparatory to get us to the cross when he came in the fullness of time and appeared from the virgin's womb. That was to get him to the cross. It was redemptive. There's a dramatic difference. Third observation, the Christologies of the Old Testament seem to prefigure the incarnation of Jesus Christ, right? All those appearances seem to prefigure. Oh, look, there's a man. You can see him. He's God. He's speaking to us. And then he went up. That seems to prefigure. I mean, if anything, if Melchizedek prefigures Christ, how about that? If the Paschal Lamb prefigured Christ, how about that? These things all seem to prefigure the incarnation of Jesus Christ. A fourth point in closing, and I just want to make this point. The God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are one and the same God. I say that because classic liberal theologians, and then the current brand of it, which is called progressive Christianity, they're the same thing. They say, well, I like the God of the New Testament, Jesus, because he's love. God is love. But I don't like the God of the Old Testament. He's fiery. He's got too much wrath. He's got too much anger. So I don't like that God, but I like this God. No, they were one and the same. In fact, that God that was appearing was this God who died on the cross. So they're one and the same. So don't become liberal in your theology. Don't become progressive in your theology. In any way, please, there's one God. He's in the Old Testament and the New. Finally, and you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who appeared and appeared and appeared and then was born of the virgin's womb and died on the cross for sinners. You must believe in him to be saved. You must call upon his saving name. You must turn to him that he may be your God, your Lord, your Savior, your Sovereign. You must believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. I pray that you will. So I want you to see more of Jesus Christ in your Old Testament. Hope you have. Let's bow and pray together. Father, thank you for this time in your holy presence and in your word. We are praying for the salvation of sinners today in this building and beyond. And we ask, O Lord, that wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the name of the Lord Jesus is lifted up on this planet today, that you would have mercy and be gracious, and that you would draw sinners to the cross, to Jesus Christ, that they may be redeemed. Even people in this room who are far from the Savior, oh Lord, bust into their lives, we pray. Send the hounds of heaven to tree them and take them captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us have been captured and captivated by your love, and we pray that we would love the Lord Jesus yet more and see him throughout our Bibles. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen.